so good to see you guys today. It's a full group tonight coming to celebrate Pastor Matthew. And then you guys are like, oh, he's not speaking. Oh, but I'm glad that I get to speak with you guys. We're just going to say a quick prayer and then we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for all that you have for us tonight. God, we thank you that as we listen to your word, God, your word brings life. Your word brings results in our life. God, I thank you that we have open ears and open hearts to receive all that it is that you have to speak to us tonight, God. God, we are here, we're willing, we're expecting for you to show up greatly in our life tonight. In your name we pray, amen. Well, to kind of go along with what Pastor Matthew was talking about last week, he was using some references to running, and there's no better time to talk about running and exercising until after you've eaten party food and pies and all sorts of yummy food that you might still be enjoying right now. But one of the motivators that I absolutely love is life is a marathon, not a sprint. How many of you guys like that? It doesn't matter if you are amazing today, that you're training for endurance, right? You're in this for the long haul. In your Christian walk with God, it is not just a sprint to the finish line. Once you ask Jesus into your heart, it is a marathon where you are continuing day by day to get stronger, to grow in Him. If you make mistakes, not giving up, but keep on pressing on. And so that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, that life is a marathon, not a sprint. Trained for endurance, not speed. Are you guys ready for this tonight? I'm excited for it. It's amazing all the references that there are in the Bible that actually references running. And there's nothing that I enjoy more than just tuning everything else out and just putting some feet to the pavement or the treadmill or whatever it is, because you push yourself. It's a way for you to be able to push yourself further than you think you can go. And then at the end, it might hurt, it might be painful, but in the end, you have that feeling of, but I did it, right? You might not want to do it again right now, but you did it, right? And you keep on pressing on. You know, there may be times when you feel like you are on a high with God, that you feel like you are invincible, you can do anything, you can believe God for anything, God is for you, there is nothing bigger, there is nothing greater than your God, and you are just shouting it to anybody that's willing to hear. If somebody comes up to you and says something negative, you just laugh it off and you're like, but my God. And we could just all shout right now, and we could say, praise God. We could do a couple laps around the church and call it a night, right? But how many of you know that that's not always the case, right? It would be nice if we could stay in that place of everything's perfect. Everything, you know, we don't make mistakes, right? But that's not the reality. Because we're in this for the endurance. We're in this for the long haul. So what do you do when you feel like you've done all to stand and you don't know if you can stand anymore, right? What do you do if you slip up, if you make a mistake, if you feel like quitting, if you feel like throwing yourself a pity party? Has anybody ever thrown themselves a pity party before? I have done it, and you know what? It feels really good at first, you know? And you get on your comfy pants, and you just sit there, and you wallow in your own, like, misery. But then you look around, and nobody else is wallowing with you. What do you do then, right? Because that's the case that we're at right now. Life is a marathon. It's all about what are you going to do the next right thing to do what it is that God's calling you for you to do. You know, if you look on Facebook and if you look on Instagram, I was told by my nephew, one of my nephews, he told me that nobody uses Facebook anymore. That's just for old people. And I was like, oh, I didn't know this. Like, tell me more about these things that are for old people, you know. And so I didn't even know anything about that. But, you know, if you look on any of those things, you don't see people like being like, guess what? I gained 15 pounds. I'm so proud of myself. Do you see people posting those things? People don't post about their failures. They're posting about their triumphs, their beautiful meals with the beautiful spread, their children all dressed up, and no one has like a cut on their face or anything, you know, like it's beautiful, it's picturesque, right? And so we don't see those things, And so Jesus, before he left the earth, he was talking to his disciples, and my husband does this thing with my kids, and well, they're his kids too, but he does this thing with them, and he says, let me tell you the secret to life. And he gets a big fork full of food, and he shoves it in his mouth, and he starts talking, and you can't hear anything. And he's like, and then as he finishes his last bite, he says, and that is the secret to life. And the kids are sitting there, and they're like, What did you say? What did you say? And so Jesus is here, and he's talking to his disciples, and he's saying, hey, guys, you want to know the secret to having peace in your life? Come in. Come close. Listen closely. And so the disciples are coming in, and they're like, well, we want in on this. We want to know about having peace. We want to know what God or what Jesus has to say to us. So in John 16:33, Jesus is sitting with his disciples, and he's explaining to them the secret to peace. And he says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. And the disciples are like, yes. This is why we have followed him for all of this time, right here. This is the golden nugget right here. And so he says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have tribulation, trouble, hardships, misery, right? In this world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So do you think that the disciples were sitting there and he says, in this world, you will have trouble. Do you think his disciples were like, are you kidding me? Are you being serious right now? And Jesus is like, no, you will. See, the key is that it's not an absence of peace. It's not an absence of trouble that's giving you the peace. The thing is that you're not in it alone. Jesus is right there with you, and he has already overcome the world. He is already the victor. He is already the winner. And so you have peace because you will face hard times. He tells us this, right? This isn't me coming against it and it's like, well, that doesn't sound like it's full of faith. It's not me. It's read in the Bible, right? He's saying, I'm trying to get you ready. Have you ever tried to get your kids ready for something, try to prepare them for something so that way they won't be disappointed or they'll be ready for whatever it is? And so this is Jesus kind of telling his kids, listen, I don't want you to go through life thinking that everything's always going to be perfect because you're my disciple, because you're my follower. But the key to peace is realizing that I have overcome the world. You are with me, I am with you, and together we will be in peace. The key is that you have to be in faith in who he is, right? That you aren't in this alone, that when everything seems like it's falling apart around you, you don't look around and you're not saying, where are my comfy pants? I'm ready for my pity party, right? You're rising up on the inside of you and you're saying, I'm not in this alone. Jesus told me this was coming. This is not a surprise. But the greater one is living on the inside of me. Because he is greater living inside of me, I am well able to overcome anything that comes against me. Because life, your Christian walk, is a marathon, not a sprint. How many of you guys like a comeback story? You like to hear of somebody, the underdog, who everybody had counted out. That everybody, he had made so many mistakes, but then something amazing happened and he turned his life around, right? And it's just kind of human nature for us to be excited to hear those kind of stories because you like rooting for him, right? Well, I love the stories in the Bible where people miss it sometimes. How many of you guys like those? I love in Hebrews 11 when it looks like all things were lost, they didn't give up. When it looked like Noah was a crazy man building an ark, everybody was looking at him like, okay, Noah's finally lost it. When it looked like all was lost for Abraham, but God, he didn't give up. He didn't quit. The Bible is full of stories of people who rose up, who it didn't look like things were going good, where it looked like everything was against them, but God. But God. Which leads us into our space story for tonight. I know Pastor Matthew isn't here. And with Pastor Donna. There we go. And so I was thinking about it, and I was like, you know, Matthew, he asked me, he's like, would you mind speaking tonight? And I said, well, I don't mind. I said, but I don't, people have come to expect a space story, and I don't know if I can deliver. So I went to the only thing that I really know about space, and so it has to go with Toy Story, because we do have a Space Ranger in there. And so in this picture, we have Buzz Lightyear, Space Ranger extraordinaire. And he didn't make it into the NASA program, but it's okay. He's a galactic hero. I mean, you can't mess with that. And so in this part in the video, he realizes that he is a toy, T-O-Y, toy. He is a child's plaything. And so he is so upset that he basically throws himself a pity party, and he gets invited with the headless dolls to a tea party. And so he says, "Don't you get it? You see the hat?" He's talking to Woody. And he said, "I am Mrs. Nesbitt." Does anybody, that's like my favorite part of Toy Story. "I'm Mrs. Nesbitt." And so he has to get a control of himself. And so Woody's talking to him and he says, "We've got a plan. There's an open window. We can still save the world, you know." And so they go and they end up, of course, everything is a happy ending in the end. They're best friends. It's a wonderful story. But Buzz has a moment where he doesn't realize who he is. And when he realizes that even though he's not a space ranger, he still has value. He still has worth, right? And so he goes and he helps to take care of everything. So that is my space story. I don't know how many other ones I have in my pocket, but it was, there it is. You see, we can't rely on yesterday's victories. We can't rely on what we did before. Have you ever heard somebody that they are talking about, like, when they were younger and the great football game that they went through and, you know, they were down for the count? And the way that they're telling it happened last night. You know, and you're like, "When did you graduate?" And they're like, "85. I'm like, whew. That's been a few decades, you know. And so you can't live in the past. You can't live in the past when you were talking about, you know, when I was in youth camp, we had this amazing service. We don't have services like that anymore. That was a good one. They sang some good songs. We had a good time. God was speaking. Do you remember that time when I spoke up in church and God was speaking through me? Yeah, when was that? 79. But it was real, you know. You can't live in the past. You can't live in what you've done before. What are you doing now, right? What are you doing now? Because it's not just your past victories. It's good to talk about your past victories. It's good to remember what God has brought you through. How many of you guys have a testimony of what God has brought you through in your life? And so when you're pressed against something and you're believing God, you go to those things. And you say, "God, I thank you that you helped me in this situation. God, I thank you that you healed me from this that was a big deal in my life." It's good to remember those things, but don't just stay there. It's a marathon. You have to keep going. You did not arrive when you were 22 years old. God still has a plan for you. God still has a plan for your life, and he's not done with you. He doesn't want you just to remember the good old days. He wants today to be a good day for you. He wants today for you to get ready and be like, "God, what do you have for me today? What can I do today?" You know, some of you guys know I started running a few years ago, and I was really, you know, on a high in a way. I was able to complete a marathon at the end of 2019, and I was running really good. I had my miles up, and then 2020 hit, and everything shut down. You know, the thing that kind of kept me motivated was races, you know, getting ready for the next race. Well, what do you do when the races that you have paid for, they're not doing them, you know, and you're running around your neighborhood or you're running around on your treadmill and nobody's around you, nobody's giving you water, nobody's at the finish line cheering you on. You're just standing there in your driveway, sucking wind, right? And so Matthew and I were training for a race. We were supposed to go in July of 2020 to Chicago, And some people decided they wanted to use their civil liberties and not make Chicago a very hospitable environment for runners. And so that race got canceled. And so my husband found us a race of Christmas in July in Indianapolis, Indiana. Well, I like July and I like Christmas. And so I was like, this sounds fun. This is great. This will be good. Well, I didn't anticipate that July was going to be a little bit of a busy month, and so I didn't train as hard as I should train in July. That was the first miss. And so when we get there, some peaceful protesters also were around in Indianapolis, and so it made our running course a lot shorter than it should be. And I don't really do very well looping around. Like, I want to not be able to stop. Like, I don't want to get to the end of one loop and realize I have to run all the way back. Like, that kind of messes with me in the head a little bit. And I'm just like, man, I just did all of that and now I have to do it again to get back? Well, this race, they were doing the same course. I'm doing this because this is part of my pity party, and you guys are all here, and you get to listen to it. Isn't this awesome? And so our course, we looped around four times. You ran around, and you crossed the finish line. You weren't done. You're going to do that baby three more times. And so it was, I think, around the third time when we were about to get to the finish line, and I was not picking up my feet high enough because I was tired. And there was a little bit of unevenness on the pavement, and I tripped. And I'll tell you, I landed face first in a pile of muck. And so Matthew and I, we were trying to run the race because we had this dream that we were going to be running a race in January, and he needed a good proof of time because the last time he ran was in the 90s. And they weren't going to accept that time in 2020. So they were like, yeah, you're going to need to run another race. And so here I am laying on the ground and I'm like, you run ahead, get a good time. You know, and I'm laying face first on the pavement. I am a lady who finished a marathon and I am laying face first in a pavement for a half marathon. And I'm laying there and it kind of knocked the wind out of me. And I was like, well, what do I do now? Because I had a couple choices. I could have asked a nice little runner, hey, can you send the little ambulance over here and just take me to the finish line? That was thought number one. Didn't sound very appealing, but it would get me there faster. Thought number two was, I can just finish this last lap and I'll be done. I'm gonna cross the finish line. I'll just wait for Matthew to finish up his little run and we'll be done. That sounded really nice. Still saved a little face, and I still got my little Santa Claus medal. And then, as I'm getting the wind back in me, I realize that the only answer is to finish the race. And so I start running, and it's not pretty. You know, it's just not. And so, but I'm getting stronger, and I cross the starting line, and I'm like, if I cross over this finish line starting line again, I'm going to have to finish. Like, this is it. And so as I'm running along, God starts talking to me. Have you ever had a God moment when it wasn't necessarily the time and you're kind of like, I'm kind of busy right now, God. I've got a lot going on. And so God talked to me in that time and he said, you could give up or you can press on. What are you made of? And so as I was running through that course, I ran across the finish line. And this is my finish line pose. And Matthew makes fun of me. And he's like, you know, you look like you're having a good time, but you really aren't. He started running with me. And I was like, it's because you know where the camera is, Matthew. Like, you smile for the camera, and then you look like you're haggard afterwards. But the thing that I was most proud of in that was that I got up. How many of you guys have ever made a mistake in your Christian life or with your kids or at your job, getting angry on the expressway on the way home, and you felt like you missed it. You felt like you missed it. You felt like you disappointed God. You disappointed yourself. Maybe you disappointed your family, and you felt like giving up. But the fact is that you don't get mad that you messed up. You get strengthened by the fact that you got back up. When you could have laid down in your own misery, did you choose to get up? Did you choose to press on? If you're running 26 miles, there are times when you want to give up. When I was training to run, I wrote it on my arm so I had a reminder, but it was 437 miles of training got me to the point of the starting line of the marathon. But it didn't matter about any of those miles if I didn't finish. If I would have stopped halfway across and I would have said, you know what, I ran 437 miles, I'll take that medal now. You know what they would tell me? Sorry, babe, keep on trucking, right? You got to finish the crossing line. It doesn't matter what you did in the 80s for God. You have to keep on running that course. It doesn't matter if you slipped up. Did you get back up? Did you get back on the course? Did you finish the race that God had for you? Because it doesn't matter what was behind, the good, the bad, or the ugly. The point is, did you get up? Life is a marathon, not a sprint. Don't give up. Don't allow yourself to beat yourself down or allow yourself to feel like your time of being useful for God is over. You think, well, who wants to listen to me? God has somebody. God has a plan. God has a purpose for your life. All you have to do is say, God, I'm getting back up. I'm going to keep on going. There are going to be days when you don't want to. There are going to be days when you don't feel like it. But do you keep on pressing on? Do you keep on going to God and saying, God, what is it that you have for me? What is it that you have for me? In Ephesians 6:13, I love this verse. Because Paul's talking here, and he says, 6:13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. When you've done all to stand, when you've done all that you can do to train, keep on training. When you've done all you can do, keep on going. Don't give up. Don't get upset. Keep on pressing on. The disciples, I like the disciples because they make me feel good about my life and my choices, and that's okay. So in Mark chapter 4, we have the disciples, and Jesus and the disciples are in the boat, and they're traveling across, and this is in verse 37, Mark 4:37, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling, but Jesus was in the stern asleep. On the cushion. He's not sweating this thing. I like that it even includes on the cushion. Like, that just like makes me think about him. Ella likes to sleep and she puts her little hands under her. And I'm just imagining Jesus looking like a little angel as he's sleeping there on his cushion. And it says that the waves are coming against it. So the disciples woke him and said, Teacher, I love this part because it makes me feel good about my choices. It says, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Jesus, don't you care? Have you ever asked Jesus that? I know you guys are angels, okay? There have been times in my life when I say, Jesus, don't you care? I've done it. Jesus, don't you care? And Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? Now, what we know about the disciples is this was not the end for the disciples. Jesus did not toss them overboard and say, I'm done with you all. I'm going to go get a new crew, and we're going to finish this thing strong, right? He did not sub in better options later on in his career. He stayed with the same guys. He didn't give up on them because of their lack of faith. He kept on teaching them in spite of their lack of faith. Okay, this is something that we're working on, clearly. Yes, I care. And now let's talk about faith, right? You got to keep on pressing on. Do any of you guys have like a Fitbit or something that you track your steps or your movement with? I have a Garmin, and it doesn't matter if I ran 8 miles on Monday. And do you know what happened It's rude. It really is. At 11:59 p.m. on Monday evening, do you know what happens to the steps? They vanish. They're zero. You wake up the next morning and it's like, okay, what you got today, big boy? You know, like, what are you going to do today? That's our chance every single day. We wake up. God says, okay, you did good yesterday, or maybe we made some mistakes yesterday. Let's teach you these things. What are you going to do today for me? Today is a new day. You have a clean slate, zero steps. You have a clean day, ready to do something for me. What are you going to do today? But God, yesterday, that's good. But what are we going to do today? What are we going to work on today? Who are you going to reach for me today? Because life is a marathon, not a sprint. What are you doing for God? God has big plans for you. Get up. Keep moving. Keep going for Him. Keep doing what it is that He's called you to do. You can never mess up too big for God. You can never be too young for God. You can never be too old for God. You can never make too many mistakes that God is like, you know what? I'm done. If there's anything that we see from the life of the disciples, I think we can see that He is very willing and gracious to give lots of chances. Keep on pressing on. Because God has big plans for each of us to do what it is that He has for us to do in these last days. Praise God. Let's go ahead and let's pray for tonight. God, we thank You so much, God. God, we thank You, God, that we get to call ourselves Your children, that we get to be Your hands and Your feet in this world. God, we thank You that You never give up on us. You always have grace, mercy, and peace. God, we thank You that we have Your peace living on the inside of us because You have already overcome the world. No matter what comes against us, no matter what report, no matter what demon from the past, God, we thank You that in You we have peace and we choose to run our course strong in You. We choose to get up when we fall and to finish what it is that You started in us. God, we thank You and praise You for that. In Your name we pray. Amen. 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 All right. All right. Well, we will see you guys on Sunday.